Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 110, part 2, Jesus, the Light of Men. Today is Sunday, August 16th, 2009. Hello, thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. A bit about Pastor Paul's mission. You know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? Because we have no boundary restrictions. So if you live in Minnesota, you can come to Pastor Paul's, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, which is located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online to get a little bit more information about Pastor Paul's, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. And there you're also going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcasts, where you can leave those comments, make those suggestions, or give a testimony. You're also going to find scriptures to the messages located in the show notes, so be sure to check out those scripture links. Also, email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. If you've been following Pastor Paul's podcast, you know that we do have two parts. Each message is broken down into two parts. One is aired on Friday. I try to post it Friday by evening and on Sunday as well. So be sure to listen to both parts of the message. And I hope you're getting a lot out of them. I know I am. Now, this month, the month of August, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some titles of the messages that we're going to post this month. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Jesus, the Light of Men, Faint but Not Faint of Heart, A Vain Showing. Those are some of the messages for the month of August. Well, August in Minnesota is really nice and hot. It's a great month to come and visit. So again, I'm encouraging you, if you are from out of town, come on in and enjoy some Minnesota hot weather. And at the end of the month, a little sign that summer has come to an end for us in Minnesota is the Minnesota State Fair. We call it the Minnesota Get Together. It is the best, the best. I'm going to leave a link all month in the show notes to the Minnesota State Fair. I've been going to the fair forever. I'm not quite that old forever, but I love the fair. It's so much fun. You can do everything at the fair. Be sure to check out their site map. Okay, that's it for me. I will see you back here on the intro for September. I hope you have a great month and listen to each of his messages this month. They're absolutely going to be the best. God bless you. Have a great month.
Synoptic Gospels. They're so striking in their similarities. And I believe our gospel life should be similar. Now, when you work for for General Mills, or you work for Ford Motor Company, and you check in with Ford Motor Company, you don't make Chryslers. You make Fords. You aren't making bicycles. You're making what you punched into. When you punch in for God, you're going to be doing the same thing. Or you're going to be left outside the blessings. Say amen. Shouldn't we be listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Blessed are the peacemakers. Shouldn't we be doing all the blessings that Jesus, the King of the kingdom, told us to do and gave us kingdom rules? And said, now if you're going to work for me, this is what you're going to have to do. And almost 500 left when it got down to the nitty-gritty, and when it got down to leaving the dead to bury the dead, and when it got down to all those things, friend, and when it says, leave everything behind and follow me, they didn't want to do it. And so they punched out. Say amen, somebody. I think we should be so similar. When people go to Cincinnati, when people go to New York, when people go to California, they could walk down the street and they could spot a Christian because they all act the same. They don't all act exactly the same, but there's something about them. They're either in the Matthew or the Mark or the John or the Luke. There is something about them. So I don't know. All I know is you're a Christian. Because I know that's the way Christians act. How many hearing this? Ooh. Of course, now in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're narrate like this, his miracles and his parables and his addresses to the multitudes. But then John represents his more deeper and more abstract, let's say, discourses. His conversations and his prayers. Because the first three portray Jesus in action. John then portrays Jesus in the mediation and communion. He is the King in Matthew. He is the servant in Mark. He is the Son of Man in Luke. And he is the Son of God in John. King in Matthew, written for who? The Jew. He is, it says, the Son of David, and it gives his royal genealogy there in chapter 1. And the king speaks in chapters 5 and 7 in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave the laws of his kingdom to all that wanted to listen. I have an album that's called, this off a Sermon on the Mount. Say amen, somebody. That the Spirit of the Lord gave me. But we go on to Mark, and it's a servant Mark written to the Romans. See, the Romans didn't care about the genealogy. Men are not interested, I don't believe, in the genealogy of a servant. Are you hearing this? So you find more miracles, and they're found more there than any other gospel. Because the Romans cared very little for words. They wanted deeds. And they said like this, truly, this is the Son of God. You remember that scene? This old beat-up centurion was standing there and his eyebrow was folded over and scarred. One eye was closed up from a scar over here and his mouth was torn. And he was all ragged and torn. He had scars all over and he was balled up in here from the helmet that he wore. And he had knife wounds all over him and he was just a man of war. But something happened to him. Something happened to him. Ooh, there was a hush. A real quietness. And they use it yet today. They say a hush before the storm. And he commands his spirit to God. Unto thee I commend my spirit. Ooh. Then it says there was lightning. Whoa.
and thunder and winds.
And the man said, truly, this is the Son of God.
But here in Luke, sets Jesus forth as a perfect man. Well, it was written for the Greeks, and they're always striving for perfection, don't you see? In John, Jesus is portrayed as the Son of God. And it was written, it says in the Bible, to all who will believe, with the purpose of leading men to Jesus Christ. It reveals the divine revelation to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. But Matthew, I found out, is concerned with the coming of a promised Savior. Mark, then, is more concerned with the life of a powerful Savior. And Luke is concerned with the grace of a perfect Savior. John is concerned with the possession of a personal Savior. But I thought to myself, why four? So I started to delve into that a little bit. Because you know why the Scripture uses numbers with precision and accuracy and real meaning. 7 is the perfect number. 3 is the number of the Godhead. 40 is the number of testing. And I suppose that's why a lot of people stay 39 for 10 years, you know what I mean? They don't want to get tested. 4 is the number of the earth, and there's 4 points on the compass. There is the north and the east and the south and the west. Also, if you'll take a look at this, there's 4 seasons. There's the spring and the summer and the autumn and the winter. 4. And in the parable of the sower, the Lord divided the fields into 4 kinds of soil. Listen now. Later he said, the field is the world. And you know what the world's number is? 4. And I thought to myself how fitting it is that the Holy Spirit should have given us 4 gospels. And that the theme of them all would be Jesus Christ. And all the Gospels, if you'll really listen to it, you read in the Old Testaments, are all bound up with the Messiah of the Old Testament. Because we cannot explain the Gospels without the Messianic prophecies. He is portrayed in the Old Testament, his offices, his missions, if you're going to minister to the Jew, his birth, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his glory is all foretold. Foretold, every bit of it. He is called the King in Psalm 72, in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, and in 32 and 1 of Isaiah, Jeremiah 23 and 5, he's called the King, and Zechariah 9 and 9 and 14 and 9. The prophets tell of his kingly office and his kingdom and his triumph. He is called the servant of Jehovah in Isaiah 42 and 1 through 7. In Isaiah 52 and 13 and 15 and 53, he is called the Son of Man in Genesis 3 and 15 and 22 and 18. And in Isaiah 7 and 14 and 9 and 6, he is called God in Isaiah 9 and 6. In Isaiah 43 through 5, in Isaiah 47 through 4, and Jeremiah 23 through 6. 23, 6, he is called God. And there again we have 4. The King, the Servant, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. 4 kinds of people are still with us yet this day. The Jew. Now the Jew must be impressed. One of his own race. He must know the Old Testament. He must know the customs. The man that I ministered to told me a little story. He says, I'm slowing down. My business. My son was a rabbi, had this degree and that degree and this degree and that, had a pulpit in New York, had a pulpit in California, and had been all over. Then one night, he came home, walked into the front room, I guess he had sat down or something like that, and dropped dead. Sir, pastor, he said, my life has changed. See, sometimes it takes tragedy to change your lives. And I was riding in the car with another fellow, and I said, you know, sometimes it takes tragedies to change our life. And I happened to turn around and look at this young man, and he was always so happy, and he says, tell me about it. I just happened to catch him. And he said it real quiet. I had to read his lips. Tell me about it. I had some tragedies in my life that turned me to the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Now I call them trials. God. Ooh. But Jesus says, but now I say unto you Jews, over and over again we read in Matthew, that it might be fulfilled, as was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. We have the same type today, don't we? They revel in prophecies fulfilled and unfulfilled, and they seek to know what the prophets have written and how it's brought to pass. The Romans and Mark were the master of the world at the time, and the Romans wanted a straightforward message, and that's why I believe Acts is before Romans. Romans wanted deeds. Oh, yeah, they wanted the deeds. And I'll go back and I'll say again, I want you to hear this over. The Greeks, they wanted somebody that would give them some kind of a beauty, some kind of a poetry, some kind of culture. And then the Gospel of Luke tells us of the birth and the childhood and gives us inspired songs connected with the life of Jesus. We hear the song of the Virgin Mother in Luke 1 in 46 through 55, and Zacharias burst, it says, into praise when he was given back his speech. And it says the angels' voices were heard at the birth in Luke 2, 13 and 14. Now the goal of the Greeks and many now is an inward happiness, and all over the people are looking for an inward happiness. My God. But here we have, in closing, the Gospel of John, written to all men, whomsoever. That's the gospel message that you got to go out and preach. Whomsoever come. But many are saying in this day and age there's a fifth gospel, a gospel according to the homosexuals. The gospel according to lesbians. The gospel according to the occasional drinker. It's all right for a little booze or a little wine. The gospel according to people. Say, well, didn't God make pop? Whew. The gospel according to people. Say, well, God considers us married. I believe these are people that are pleading the fifth. On the grounds that to answer might intimidate them. They don't want to answer the gospel according to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. They have persuaded a judge with their testimony. Jesus accused the Jews of making the word of God of none effect. And then we have the story of Lot that fled the city and took none of the citizens with him. And all right now we have people out in the mission fields that aren't doing one single solitary thing for Jesus. I talked to a man that was doing a missionary, a Pentecostal man that was doing a missionary work in Greece. This is a few years back. And he said, well, last year we had a convert. We had a person that came to Jesus. That man had been there for 20 years. And a particular church had sent him to me because I was a Greek. But I believe I'm the only Greek that really gave him the truth. Say amen, somebody. We finally got one saved after 20 years. You know how many times missionaries go over and don't do their jobs? And right now there are people over there in the world that are doing jobs. There are people that are sending records out. We are the world. We are its people. shouldn't that provoke the Christian community to be zealous in doing well and doing deeds? Have you noticed that sometimes it seems like sometimes, I don't know if they're phony or if they're acting, of course they are, but do you ever kind of wonder sometimes that sometimes some of the folks that are in the world are just a little bit nicer, a little more kinder, a little more compassionate than some Christians? Shouldn't that provoke us? Shouldn't that provoke us to do better? Shouldn't that make us want to, get in and read the Gospels and find out what Jesus had to say and what he wanted us to do? Shouldn't that make us want to get out and be zealous for good works and to stop, just learning and learning and never coming to know Jesus? And to know him, you must know him in the suffering? Whew. Well, the believers in 1 John 1 and 7 are told to walk in the light as he is in the light. And I thought to myself, well, does that mean knowledge? Some people say, well, that means knowledge. Are we only to walk in the light of the knowledge we have? No, John says, walk in the light as he is in the light. He does not say, walk in whatever light you have. You have the light. Turn to the light. And if you don't understand something, or you're not knowledgeable about it, and you're in the light will show you which way to go. Well, I didn't know any better. I was walking in the light that I had. What kind of light do you have? You have all the light. Did you ever wonder when you were first born again and the Spirit of God was so heavy on you, how you just walked in the light and you knew right from wrong? Almost instantaneously. But after a while, you sort of sidestep the light and you get out, so it's just sort of a shadow. So the light casts a shadow from your body. So that your flesh is casting a shadow. And now it seems like you're walking in a partial darkness, where everything was so plain and so simple, and praise the Lord, what do you want me to do next, Lord? And you were so zealous for good works, and now you're just sort of dead? Well, I think it's because we start working in, our own knowledge. Well, I'm just walking in the light that I have. You have all the light. You had it when you got saved, and you totally depended on it, and it worked. And now we've gone through all these studies, and we've been through all these Bible studies, we've read our Bibles, we've done all these different things, and now all of a sudden we're dummies? Did you ever wonder about that, though? How pure and simple it was when you first got saved, and now, you're kind of wandering? Oh, I'm just doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can, that's right. You got to come back to the gospel. You got to walk in the light as he is in the light. You got to be in the light, God's light. You're in it. God will show you everything you need to know. Whew. 1 John 1 and 5 clearly says, God is the light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Whew. Oh, we wonder, well, how can people get so far off? I mean, radio audience, how can some of you get so far off? Why was it so simple when you first got saved? Because you were holding on, and Jesus was holding on to your hand, and you were walking in the light with him. But then you got knowledgeable. Then you got rebellious. And then you got, so you didn't need God so much anymore, and you wanted to go off on your own. and you started to wander off into darkness, all of a sudden your understanding was darkened, and now you don't know where you're at. Return to the gospel. Lest ye come as little children, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you hearing this message tonight? Walk in the light. Well, what does that involve? That means stopping habitual sin. Say amen. Let me read a few scriptures here before we close up. This is 1 John 1 and 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow. And then 1 and 9, and listen to it real careful now. I believe we should have a confession of any sin we may actually commit after conversion. Admission. Maybe that you've fallen into some kind of a sin. Maybe you're having an awful time with it. You need to just confess it to God and say, God, I am not making it. Why is it when I was first saved, it seemed like I had all that power? Because you were walking in the light. Now, you've wandered off. All right, 1 and 9 then. If we confess our sins, listen, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, heavy-hearted people that call in on the phone, confess them to Jesus. And He is faithful and He is just and He is righteous to forgive you all your sins. Praise God. Ooh, how many hearing this? Then I believe there must be a confidence in the power of God to free us from sin, don't you? How many hearing this? Then we go to I think that we should turn here to 1 John 2, 1 and 2. I think there has to be an acceptance of the provision of God. Make it possible for one to live above sin every day. Oh, that's great. I remember when some sins left me and I was able to live above them every day. Oh, God. How sweet that victory is. I'm still scrambling with some. Oh, God, I have to admit it. But I'm above some of them now by the power of God. Oh, I thought I'd never be free from some things. But I found out it not only includes the freedom from the guilt of sin, but also from the power of the sin as well. Wow. 1 John then 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And then we go on, loving one's brother in 1 John 2 and 10. Listen to this. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So important that we love our brother. Why? The one who loves his brother abides in the light, lives in the light. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. Oh, isn't that precious? Let me close with this. The Bible says, a house divided cannot stand. What does that mean? It means there must be no inward division. There must be no inward conflicts. No Jesus and gospel. See, it can't be Jesus and something else. Just Jesus. Now, I hope that this is crystal clear. A house cannot stand. Not merely will not stand, but cannot stand. Because I know in my very own life, it's a fact. Inward division brings a decay within me. When I'm divided in my thinking, when I'm not led by the direct Spirit of the Lord, when I'm divided, I'm half here and I'm half there. I'm not of a full throttle and I'm not of a full force towards and having a heart for God and what He's told me to do. And there's an inward division and a conflict. I can't stand. Because I found out that every nervous breakdown person that I've ever talked to is going through an inner conflict. Oh, now don't worry. Overwork does not cause a breakdown. It's underbeing. I think the church of today, everybody that has division, that has compromise, has inner conflicts, will not stand. Did you hear that, churches out there? Wherever there is a division, wherever that your leader does not have a clear word from the Lord, wherever that your leaders are not led by the Spirit of God and obey the Lord to do that which He's told you to do, you allow someone else to cause a conflict within you because you become divided in your thinking, it will not stand. It cannot stand. And it's the same way within our own lives. Unless we know, unless we love, unless we obey the Lord, unless we give ourselves over, unless we understand the Spirit of the Lord, you can't stand. People are crumbling all over. Cannot stand. I said, I'll say it again. It's not overwork. It's underbeing. Not being what we can be in Jesus. What can you be in Jesus? Well, you can do all things well through Christ who strengthens you. By not being faithful to God. By not trusting in God. By not loving God first. By not seeking the kingdom of God first. Not loving one another, and that is trying to live a fifth gospel. Whenever that we don't obey the gospels, and the four of them that we talked about here tonight, we make a fifth gospel. When we make a fifth gospel, the Bible tells us, if someone comes preaching another gospel, tell them to go to hell. Is there someone giving you another gospel? Some old demon talking to you? Some spirit out there talking to you out there to do this or to do that or to get into bitterness or hatred or whatever? That's not the gospel. Is there someone that's causing a division in your home? That's not the gospel. You know what? It cannot stand. Cannot stand. Jesus said so, and it's so true. Tonight, I think that we've come to the agreement here. We must surrender our conflicts and walk in the light. as he is in the light. You're going to see more cases of people going into the mental wards, and I want to tell you why. There's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to be in a lot of trouble. I'll tell you why. They've entered into a fifth gospel, the gospel of compromise, the fifth gospel, the gospel of doing this and that, and sometimes they even do it in the name of Jesus, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. Don't do it. It's the gospel of gossip, and there are so many gossips in the house of God. People call me up for counsel, and they end up gossiping about somebody. I want to tell you, that's not gospel. Say amen. Well, they'll call up and they want to talk. You listening on the radio, I want you to hear this now. I pray to God we ain't got it in our church. For the most part, I don't think we have. I'll say right now, there's a whole lot of it going on. There are people that just talk, and they're always finding reasons to leave doing the work of God. But the worst of the worst, are those that come as a mediator for the devil. Say amen, somebody. They try to mediate something right from the pits of hell, and they'll get on the phone and try to mediate something that's not of God. And you know, brother this or sister that or whatever, God spoke to him, and I almost would like to tell him, I would say, hey, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's not coming from the right spirit, and the Spirit of God does not use a wrong spirit. When someone comes to you with that spirit of gossip or that spirit of talking things over on the telephone, this happened here, and they get their little information and they take it back and forth. The Bible calls them busybodies. Damnable busybodies. Thank God that our church and our body is so busy that we don't have time to be busy bodies. We're a body, not bodies. Whew. Say amen, somebody. Something else I'm going to say here, and I want to encourage the people in this church right now. There are a lot of faithful people in this church. I'm praising God for you all. You know why? Because this particular church, and I'm just lifting up this body, the body of Christ, and I boast only in Jesus on this, has been through a great many trials. And there has been people that have sat right in here and watched this thing go through trials. And I believe that when they go to bed at night, they have to shake their head and say, how long is that thing going to stand? You know how long it's going to stand? Until the kingdom comes here on earth, as long as it keeps preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and nothing's going to make it fall. My God, don't you ever know that? Get it into your head. When God's behind something and God opens up the doors, praise the Lord, nothing will close them. But when God closes those doors, no man's going to open them. Right now we're in the throes just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to come fitly joined together, grouped together, my God, and get a one accord. Get behind your leader. Pray for your leader. My God, don't get into conversation. You listening on the radio right now, to this tape right now, don't you fall into rebellion so people get persuaded to go to the devil and the king of this earth and the leader of this earth. And they say, my God, there's nothing in Christianity. There is. When we become of one accord, when they can say, my God, they're all alike. They're fitly joined together. Whew. Oh, doesn't that thrill your old soul? Say amen, somebody. Doesn't that just thrill you? Someone saw that painting that Jim done on the truck there, that he started that painting on. He said, hey, I saw your van. It had a picture on it. This fellow wasn't a Christian. Boy, was that a great picture. Well, it's not even just barely started. I felt like saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. But don't you see? The Spirit of God is moving. Oh, hallelujah, people. It's so exciting. Your little old pastor is sitting there with a multimillionaire giving him the gospel. And, you know, when you give somebody the truth, it's pretty hard to answer it back. I said, well, we move by faith. I've gone this far by faith. Why should I guys start going any other way? It's worked thus far for me, sir. Why should I go any other way? Oh, let's get into such a one accord. They'll say, behold, how they love one another. And they'll even know what body you're from.
Well, that's that body that don't go around. They're not busy bodies. They're not on the phone all the time. Know what I mean?
Oh, yes, and then...
Huh? Are you listening on the radio, you busybodies? That busybody all the time? Oh, my God, what tremendous bores you are. How many heard this message tonight? God, it's time we get our gospel straight, isn't it? Isn't it? Let's hear it for the Lord. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Okay, I think I know everybody in here for the most part. Is there anyone in here that would like to give a comment for the radio audience on this gospel message that we gave? Anybody? Two comments is what I need for the radio audience. In 30 seconds, comments. Maybe God's dealing with you, somebody in here. I don't know. God's dealing with me all the time. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one. Why are you picking on me all the time? Somebody here? Somebody? Where? Oh, there you are, over there. Okay. Here we go.
I just learned that it's important that we judge our own walk. And when people correct you in the house of God, that you should look at it as they're helping you. Because the Holy Ghost is going to use people all the time, especially if we're not listening. And there are times that I don't listen. And somebody's got to come to me and say, why are you doing this? Well, I don't know. And then it gives me a chance to go to the Father and say, okay, Lord, am I really this bad? What do I do to make it right?
And you get into the light again.
Yeah.
You know, where you're in darkness and you'd ask God and he puts you right in the light and you say, ooh, okay. And I think that's true of all of us, honey. We all do that. But, yeah, okay.
So if you're diligent.